The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
I want to preach a message that I've entitled, Your Story Matters. 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read verse 11 and 12. We will look at this entire chapter in some form or fashion throughout these moments together, but I want to focus in on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Our text verse will be verse 12 of the message today, but look at verse 11. Peter pens these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." The 15-year-old boy faced one of the biggest challenges of his life. In the middle of his 10th grade year in high school, he was uprooted from his home and moved literally clear across the world. For you see, his dad's career, his dad's job would take them to a new place. And unfortunately, this young boy had to go to a new high school. The intimidation of entering a new school in the middle of the year was far from what anybody would want or anybody would even wish for, regardless of what age you are or what grade you're in. The school he would enter would be the largest high school he would ever be in. The halls buzzed with over 1,000 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. Finding where his locker would be and finding where Spanish class was seemed minor compared to the new daily routine of life. He had no friends. He absolutely knew no one in school. He had absolutely no one to offer him help or even suggest help in finding where he would to go each day. Sounds like a lot of freshmen that come to PCC. They don't know where to go or what to do. But this 10th grader was intimidated by everything around him. But one day, shortly after coming to that high school, probably 1 or 2 weeks after being there, he noticed two students in the crowd who really stood out. They seemed to always be smiling. They had a radiance about them that was different. They looked different from the typical public school kid who walked the halls. They dressed different. They weren't strange. They were just different. You could tell. And he would soon meet up with these two 10th graders who would, to his advantage, befriend him and invite him to their local youth group. For you see, these two students were Christians. Oh, the 15-year-old, he was saved, but he wasn't in church like he needed to be. In fact, he was what some would even say maybe backslidden. He wasn't faithful. He had dropped out of youth group. He had dropped out of going to church. But he knew deep down inside he needed to be growing in Christ. But these two students, they reached out to him. And these two students invited them to their church. God began to work. This young boy would eventually join the youth group, join the church. His parents would be involved. His parents would join the church. And God began to really move in this young person's life. At age 17, he was a junior in high school, and God called that young man to preach and surrender his life to full-time Christian service. His two friends and he and about seven young people from that small youth group would come to Pensacola Christian College in the fall of 1989 and 1990 and 1991. And many of those students, from those two students, had an impact. Many students in that youth group would come to Pensacola Christian College and train for ministry and serve God. You might have figured it out, but that 15-year-old boy was myself. And I'm so thankful for the two students that I will never forget who had a great impact on my life. Their testimony made a difference in my life. Today, God wants you and I to have an impeccable testimony for Christ. And as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, we can see an outline in this chapter of what Peter gave to the early church as to how they should develop a testimony for God. We're going to look at this chapter, but I want to define what is a testimony. Our challenge today, students, is to have a testimony that's impeccable for Christ. But what is a testimony? So I looked up the word testimony in the dictionary. Webster Dictionary defines a testimony as a solemn declaration, usually made orally by a witness under oath in response to interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. That's the long definition. It is firsthand authentication of a fact. It's an outward sign, an open acknowledgement. And here's where the spiritual aspect of this comes in. The dictionary defines a testimony as a public profession of a religious experience. Having a testimony for Christ means that I will verbalize openly how I have come to faith in God by the Spirit's help. It is constantly declaring my allegiance to Jesus Christ and the desire to follow His plan for my life. It's choosing, basically, on a practical aspect, students, a testimony is, having a testimony is choosing to tell my story of how God is at work in my life. And as I said earlier, every one of us has a story to tell. What does our testimony require? Well, we look at our text here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to point out four truths that we see in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we see Peter reminding the early church. Having a good testimony, number one, requires growing. Requires growing. Your Bibles are open to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Peter says this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Having a good testimony requires growing. To grow means to increase or to become greater in our life and in our story and in our influence for God. We're to increase in our faith. I'm reminded of Romans 10:17. Most of us can quote this verse. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we have stopped growing, maybe it's because of the sins that are listed in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Peter says, lay aside the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies. We're to lay aside these things, and as newborn babes, we're to grow, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God wants us to increase our faith, and one of the ways we do that is by heeding to the word of God. Not only growing requires us to increase our faith, but it carries the idea also of increasing our witness for Christ. Let me ask you something, and here's the challenge as we think about our testimony. Does our life reflect Christ? Does our life reflect Christ? Can Christ and His moral attributes be seen in our life? Are we proclaiming the testimony of God? Are we growing in our witness and in our faith? Having a good testimony requires growing. And Peter says, as newborn babes, we're to grow thereby. Not only does having a good testimony require growing, but number two, having a good testimony requires building. Look at verse number four of our text in chapter 2. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. We see a picture here of building. We see a picture of the fact that Christ is the chief cornerstone. But we see this idea of building up a spiritual house in verse number 5. We're to make spiritual advancements in our life every day. This builds our testimony. This helps us to be a light to the world around us. We should never be ashamed of the cause of Christ. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded, verse 6. Confounded means that I won't be ashamed, I won't dishonor, I won't disappoint. Christ never disappoints us, and we should never disappoint Christ in the world that we live in. Do you have an impeccable testimony? Is that your desire this morning? When my wife and I moved back here 4 years ago, one of the privileges that we have is we live near our parents. My wife's parents live close by. My mom and dad live in this area. And it's good to see them. It's good to visit with them, to see them as they grow older and be there for them. And the challenges, health challenges, and the different challenges that they face as they are growing older. I remember at Christmas this past year, or after Christmas this past year, around New Year's, my mom and dad were over at our house, and my dad was leaving the house, and we were helping them pack up some things and get things in the car, and I remember my dad turned to me, and he's never said this to me, it was just a shocker, but he turned to me, and he said, son, he says, I'm proud of you. Now, I'm 50 years old, and for my dad's in his 70s, and for him to say that was just out of the norm. Out of the norm. But I knew what he meant. And it meant something. It was real. He was sincere. I was just so thankful that he said that. But you know, more importantly, students, we ought to want God to say to us one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We ought to desire that in our heart and in our life. Are you making spiritual advancements in your everyday life? Are you building a testimony for the glory of God? Are you moving forward or backward in your life? Having a good testimony requires building. It requires growing. Number three, having a good testimony requires a difference. Look at verse number 9 and 10 of 1 Peter 2. Having a good testimony requires, number three, a difference. Look at what Peter says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 9 tells us that we are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We're different. We're different. If you take a stand for God, you will be different in this world. And God wants us to make a difference and be different. It's showing we're different because, as Pastor Redland many times says in church, we have passed from death unto life. And that's what the verse says. But you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, who hath called you, verse 9, out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I, if we're saved this morning, we have passed from death unto life. And just the fact that we've experienced the new birth by way of Christ and by way of salvation makes us different in this world. We should be different in our speech. What are we saying? What are you saying around your friends? How are you communicating? What do you say in the dorm room when it's just you and your roommates? Is your speech edifying? Yesterday after church, my wife and I, we went out to eat. We went to a well-known restaurant in town. I'm not going to mention the restaurant. Some of you may not go there after this story, but we went to a restaurant yesterday after church, and we sat down, and I ordered a glass of sweet tea. My wife ordered a coffee and water. And when we sat down and our waitress brought the sweet tea and brought the drinks to us, I took the glass and I immediately sipped the sweet tea, and I felt something different around my lips when I put that glass to my lips. And I looked at the glass, and the glass was filthy. It was dirty. It hadn't been washed. The whole round glass was just filthy. And the first thing I thought is, oh, I'm going to get COVID, you know. And I told my wife, I said, oh, no. And I said, man, I'm going to tell that waitress. I'm going to tell her what I think. And my wife, she reached across the table. She's got a lot of wisdom to her. And she grabbed my hand and she said, don't you ruin your testimony at lunch today. And then I thought, well, that's what I'm preaching on tomorrow. And anyway, talk about the Holy Spirit. God uses your wife sometimes to just inflict that Holy Spirit conviction. But she did. She reached across the table and she said, don't you ruin your testimony. So when that waitress came back, I just smiled and said, can I have a new glass of tea? She says, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, can I have a free meal? She said, no. But anyway, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation, students, where we can ruin our testimony very quick by what we say. Our speech. We're to be different. There should be a difference in our speech. There should be a difference in our conduct. There should be a difference in our attitude. There should be a difference in our demeanor. We should be different if we're God's child. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 9. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Our demeanor, our outward behavior should display a sweet spirit, a willing heart, and a teachable spirit. These are things that we ought to be displaying in our life as believers. I'm reminded in Exodus chapter 19, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, God told Moses to tell the children of Israel how they're to live in the world. And in Exodus chapter 19, we see the commands that God gave Moses. I want to read the passage quickly here. But in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says this, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, they had left Egypt and they were in the wilderness. The same day they came unto the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to a desert in Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, God says to Moses, tell the children of Israel, that if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is thine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses gave this command and gave this truth to the children of Israel. And you know the story. They failed. God set up a nation, and God's purpose, one of the purposes for the nation of Israel, is for them to be a light to the world, to show the world that their God was the true and living God. And they failed many times. May we as God's people never fail in the area of our testimony. We're to be different. And then lastly, as we look at chapter 2, if we're going to have a good testimony, We're to be demonstrating something in our life. And I want you to look at verse 12. verse 11 and 12. I read it as an opening text, two verses, but I want to look at this verse again. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Look at verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which ye shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is a powerful verse, verse 12, because you and I, if we're going to have a testimony for God, we must demonstrate good works. You've heard this said before. I've probably said it in Bible class. You've heard preachers say this. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. And here, Peter reminds us that we're to demonstrate good works, that they may see your good works. They may by your good works, which ye shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You and I, here's a powerful truth, students. You and I every day are being watched. People are watching us, even on this campus. When we leave this campus, we are being watched. People will notice the difference that we have in our lives if we have Christ. They will notice that there is something different about us. We are being watched. And as we demonstrate good works in this world that we live in, many could come to Christ because of those good works. And you and I are to have a testimony that is constantly demonstrating good works. Many times a good work, a Christian service project, passing out tracts. I mean, we could go down the line serving in a mission at Waterfront Mission or some Good News Ministries or some place where we can serve God. Many times those good works will give us opportunity to share the gospel. One commentator said in reference to verse number 12, a positive Christian lifestyle is a powerful means of convicting this world of its sin. Paul used the word good in this verse to define both Christians, their life, and their works. You and I have a testimony. We're building it. And if we're going to have a testimony that's pleasing to God, we must have a testimony that is growing, a life that is building on the foundations of God's Word, a life that is different, and a life that is demonstrating. One of the things I've enjoyed doing throughout the years, and I know some of you enjoy doing this too, is I enjoy reading about past Christians that have made an impact on the world. We could sit here we could be in chapel for the next week and we could read an account of Christian after Christian after Christian that has lived in the past that has made a great difference for the cause of Christ. In preparation for this message, I thought about reading and just reminding us of the story of a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael. How many of you ever heard of missionary Amy Carmichael? Okay, lots of hands. I recently read her story. She was a great missionary that impacted the country of India. She was born on December the 16th, 1867 in Northern Ireland. She grew up with privilege and money. When she was 17 years old, just a young teenage girl, she began having a Sunday school class for girls in Ireland who worked in the cloth and textile mills. Many of these young girls would be considered by society then lower class. Her faith and her vision was so catching that the girls would soon come to her and they would meet in a place and they outgrew that meeting place and they began to rent, Amy Carmichael and her family began to rent a large meeting hall where there would be nightly Bible study, music, sewing classes, and a monthly evangelistic gospel meeting. In 1892, at the age of 24, Amy's heart call was to go to the foreign mission field. And through much advice and through much prayer, she felt like the Lord was leading her to the country of India where she would go. And when she left and went to India, students, she would never return home. There in India, she threw herself into learning the language of southern India as well as the culture and customs like any missionary would do. After spending some time in India, Amy Carmichael became aware of the temple children. These were young girls who were married to the gods in the Hindu temples. And because their parents would give their children over to these temple gods and to the temple area, prostitution took place in this process. For you see, some parents would sell their little girls to the temple, knowing that they would probably never have a chance of finding a husband to marry one day. Amy reached out to these young girls in the temple area and soon provided a home for these girls, and she established the Donavore Fellowship. Soon Amy became mother to dozens of these girls, and many of them came to Christ and were brought out of such a wicked lifestyle and were brought to Jesus. In October 1931, at the age of 64, Amy fell into a pit and broke her leg. She never fully recovered at age 64, but for the next, now listen students, for the next 20 years of her life, Amy Carmichael would spend her time handicapped in a room, many days confined to a bed, and there she began to write. And she wrote over 13 books that are now published today that you and I can read about. She wrote about her life experiences. Even though she was physically handicapped, her mind was sharp. And for the next 20 years, she gave her life to writing about her experiences and the truth she learned in India. Today, you and I can read about her impact. She is one of many stories that I could tell. She is one of many Christians that lived her life to the fullest and had a testimony that was impeccable for Christ. And my prayer for you is that you will have a testimony that will live on for generations to come if the Lord tarries His coming. Some of you have been impacted by the testimony of others. It could be a home church pastor. It could be a childhood Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor back home, a Christian mom or dad, a grandmother, a godly grandmother, or a godly grandfather. For me, it was those two students in that large high school that reached out to me and invited me to youth group and invited me to church. And my life would never be the same as a teenage young boy. God will use you to reach others as you have a testimony and develop a testimony for Christ. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? I sure hope it is. May God give us young people at Pensacola Christian College that will have a heart for Him, and will have a testimony above reproach. Let's pray. Our life speaks. Students, your life speaks. Will you purpose today to have a testimony that will glorify God all the days of your life?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.